Well, we're going to have four or five passages of scripture, just little ones, for a lesson I want to bring out. And the first one is in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Well-known story, the story of David and Goliath. How many know that there's a giant buried near here? The child of Hale. Mm-hmm. If you go and have a ride out to Hale Village outside Widnes, you can read about him. You can go and see his grave, which is about half the size of this platform in the churchyard, and it tells you the story. We are looking at the story of Goliath for a lesson this morning. The children's chorus says, 9 feet 6, 9 feet 6, with sword and spear and javelin. But David's faith was trust in God, and faith removed the mountains. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 8 to 10, and then 48 and 49. 1 Samuel chapter 17, and this is Goliath, and he stood, I'm just picking the bits out I want to talk about, and he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, let him come down to me, and if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then ye shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man. Now that's the theme of my message. Give me a man. The challenge was thrown down to the armies of Israel by this giant of a man. Give me a man. And we are in a world today which is challenging God. It doesn't believe in a creator. It's teaching our children in school that we came from monkeys, that a piece of a blob of jelly was washed up on a shore somewhere millions of years ago, that it grew legs, and that it walked up the beach, and then it climbed up a tree, and swung in the branches, and landed in the classroom. And they believe in that, sad to say. We are facing a giant, and that giant is Satan. Make no bones about it. Satan is very, very busy in our world. I've been doing a study in Job with a group of friends. Oh, that was it. It's hard work, I'll tell you. We've just got to the last few chapters, which is great. But going through Job, poor Job had a clue what was going on. That there was a battle raging. And the devil threw at him illness, loss in the family, lost his possessions, and then three comforters, so-called, and then one young upstart who thought he knew it all, Elihu. Where is Job in all this? There's a battle going on for the minds of men and women today. The world is in chaos, politically, financially, and morally. There's a battle. Satan is challenging the word of God, the authority of God, and what are we going to do about it? Well, God did something about it. He provided a man. There's a young shepherd lad here who came, the youngest of eight brothers. I take it David was in his teens, and he came to visit his brothers when this giant appeared. And what's all this? And you know the story. Although David went towards Goliath, and it said he ran towards him, he'd no armour, he'd just his slingshot, and round and round and round and round, and that shot was straight between the eyes, fell to the ground, mortally wounded, and David cut off his head. Give me a man. And David was anything but what Goliath expected. And Satan challenges us today. And we'll look at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, just to carry on the theme. And it's Mary being told by the angel that she's going to have a child. And we'll just read from 20, verse 26. And And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her, picture the scene, and said, Hail thou that art highly favoured, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for you have found favour with God. My friends, this morning, have you found favour with God? Have you found favour with God? You have found favour with God. And behold, you shall conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, Yeshua, Saviour. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be? I know not a man. Don't think that girls to Mary's age, in her teens, they knew the facts of life. And she didn't dispute what the angel was saying, but she had this thing that, well, I don't know a man. She was innocent. She was innocent. How is God going to do this mighty work? God was providing, through Mary, a man, which was to do his will in the great battle with Satan. I know not a man. I ask you this morning to be honest with yourselves. Do you know the man, the Lord Jesus? Do you know him? There will be people in this room, one or two, three or four, who don't know him. Know of him, but don't know him down here. God wants you to know him in your heart and be born again. Did not the Lord say, you must be born again? Nicodemus, a clever man, said, how can that be? Can a man enter his mother's womb a second time and be born again? No. You must be born by water and the Spirit. That water is the Word of God. As people preach it from this platform, it is God's Word. As you read it in your Bible, it's God's Word to you. And you need to apply that to yourselves and question yourselves with what you hear and read. And then the Holy Spirit will come upon you, as he did with Mary, and reveal it to you, what God is saying to you. He wants to have a relationship with you. You must be born again. You need to know the man. Give me a man. And we know that Satan tried to have the Lord killed at birth, that they had to be refugees into Egypt, that they had to avoid Jerusalem at all costs and go up to Nazareth when they came back. And right through the Lord's life, Satan tried to have him killed time and time again, but there was an appointment. The Lord was determined to keep an appointment at Jerusalem. It had to be the right year. It had to be the right time of year. And it was all working to that. And we turn over to our third passage, which is quite a sad one, really. It's to do with Pilate. Chapter 19 of John. Verse 1. The Lord had been kept overnight in Caiaphas' house. Knocked about. Black and blue, spat upon, hairs plucked from his cheek. Think of this. This is the man who was born, the child who was born in Bethlehem. The one who did such good. The one who walked on water. The one who spoke to the wind and the waves. Peace. And they obeyed. Why do you think they obeyed? Why do you think the waves stopped and the wind? Because he made them. He's their creator. They recognized his voice and there was peace. This one was being badly ill-treated by these supposedly religious people, the Sanhedrin and that, the scribes. And they bring him to Pilate. And we read verse 1, Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. Now think about that just for a moment. That means that the Lord was flogged, whipped. The psalmist tells us his back was like a ploughed field. They lay deep their furrows in my back. And he was knocked about. A crown of thorns, let's read on. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head and put a purple robe on him and said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and smote him with their hands. "This is the one who God provided. This is the man." Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you that ye may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said unto them, "Behold the man." Give me a man. This is the man who God provided. How wonderful God is. It needed a man to deal with our problem. We have become face to face this week with the problem of death, affecting our fellowship here. Shocked, expected, yes. But it is appointed unto man once to die. It is an appointment we all have. And after death, the judgment. And we can't speak for ourselves. We need an advocate. We need a lawyer who can stand for us and plead. And God provided one. And they took, you know, they took the Lord in all that pain and agony and nailed that lovely person to a tree. The Lord didn't pull his hand back when they did it. He gave his hand. He carried that cross on that wounded back. The man, the devil did his worst. What does he matter? Said that man of Calvary has bled and died for me. This is the man who God provided. Give me a man. And the God of heaven could say, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." He gave his stamp to the authority of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus went forth to Calvary. And Pilate says, "Behold the man." I say that to you this morning, that he is the Saviour. Is he your Saviour? And if he is he your Lord? I don't mean knowing it up here, but down in your heart. Is he your Lord? Are you obeying him? Are you following him? Endeavouring to. We don't make a success of it at times, but endeavouring to follow the Lord, the one who loved you and went all through this. Behold the man. Now Philippians 2:7-11. And this is what the Lord did for us. He left the glory of heaven, where he was worshipped and adored. Verse 7, and he made himself of no reputation, took upon the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. See, when you talk about the Lord, you say, well, when you ask people, what do you say? Think about God, good man. Plenty of good men died on crosses. It didn't change the world. Why did the cross change the world? Why is it the pivotal point of history? Well, is this different? That when the blood of Christ flowed down that rugged cross, it was the blood of God. That's what changed the world. That's what changed. Because it was precious blood. It was sinless blood. It was spotless. It was the blood of God. And that turned this world upside down. And the devil is against all the teaching of the cross. The devil doesn't want people to think about these things. Clouds their mind with lots of things. I go to an open air, as you know, and people don't like being told they're sinners. And one of the ladies was chatting to another lady, and the lady had to say, "Well, I'm not a sinner, I'm a good person." So this, she said to her, she said, "Have you ever told a lie?" And that, she stood back at that. It doesn't matter whether it's a white one, or a grey one, or a black one. Have you ever told a lie? Now she, and then she was shocked and she blasphemed. She says, "You've just done it again. You've broken God's law again." And he had a conversation with the lady. And she offered the lady, she gave the lady a New Testament or a John's Gospel, I forget which. She says, "But you must promise to read it." She says, "I will." And she went up the street with this and came back again. And she says, "I'll have to read it now, won't I? Because I've said I would. And it'll be a sin if I don't read it." So she, you see, the Holy Spirit convicts of sin. He tells us when we're wrong. We know when we're wrong. And that's his job, to convict the world, to convict the people in the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And there is a way of escape, because God provided a man to take our place. "Wherefore God has all highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow." My friends, you need to bow that knee today. No, we're not promised tomorrow. Every knee will be forced to bow one day. But they won't always say it at that day. It's those who choose and accept the Lord as their Saviour in their lifetime who bow the knee now. "And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." He was found in fashion and likeness of a man. And then finally, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 9. "I, John, am also your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice of a trumpet." So it's Sunday morning, or it's Sunday. John's in prison because he's a preacher. He's on this island off the coast of Turkey or Greece, somewhere around there. And he's in a prison of sorts. It might have been house arrest, I don't know, but he was there. It was because of the testimony of Jesus. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He was thinking about things. He's an old man. It's about 60 years since he last saw the Lord ascend to heaven. And he's coming to the end of his life. And he's in prison. "And I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I turned, and I heard behind me a great voice, as of a trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in a book. Send it to the seven churches which are in Asia," and he names the churches. "And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the breast with a golden girdle," and so on. And it goes on. "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth, and was dead, and I am alive forevermore." The man who has the keys of hell and death, the thing which plagues this world, the things which people are trying to do all sorts of things, eating healthy and keeping fit, hoping they'll live longer. This is the one who's solves the problem of death and hell. These belong to Satan. And the Lord, as he died on that cross, dismissed his spirit into God the Father, and his soul and his body was put in the grave, and his soul went down into hell. to save you and me. And he rose victorious on the third day, and he has the keys of death. And the answer to death and now, the solution, belong to him. This thing which plagues people today, and we are affected by it, but the Christian has a hope, steadfast and sure, because of the Lord Jesus Christ. But those who don't know him in their hearts have no hope. We were reminded this morning that we sorrow not as the rest which have no hope. That's tragic. Tens of thousands of people, millions, are passing into eternity every day with no hope. We have a hope. And we need to preach the gospel, the good news, that there is a way of escape. And it's coming as an individual. Personally, acknowledging that before God we are sinners. And repenting of our sin. And asking the Lord to be our Saviour. And he'll come into your life. And he'll turn it around. Because he wants you to follow him. What could be better than that? What has this world got to offer? Riches? What will be left behind? Only one life. Who was it? C.T. Studd wrote that. Only one life to soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And I ask you this morning to think seriously. If you're not sure whether you're saved or not, well, make sure. Come and have a word with John or myself or whoever. If you know you're not where you should be, well, get right with the Lord. Don't put it off. The devil will want you to put it off. Don't go through that door, or you might not come through it next Sunday. D.L. Moody, you know, that was very famous, Billy Graham, that always doing a call, an altar call at the end of his services. And that came about because D.L. Moody was preaching once in Chicago. Brilliant preacher, didn't need any of this business. They could all hear him in football fields. He was preaching and he said, "No, I want you to listen, think carefully what I've told you today and come back next week prepared to give your life to the Lord. And I'm going to make a call next week." Now, there was a big fire, the Chicago fire, like the fire of London. And there was a lot of empty spaces that next Sunday in church. He said, "Never again will I avoid giving the call. Dear friends, I give a call this morning. Come to Jesus. Come to the man of Calvary." Satan said, "Give me a man." God gave a man. And that man defeated our Goliath, which is Satan. But Satan can still hold on to us. And will do, unless we come to the man. The man Christ Jesus. And take him as your own personal saviour. And your name will be written in heaven. And one day we'll be together in glory. Amen.